Well, good evening, everyone. So good to see you guys today, all hopefully healthy and happy. I know that Pastor Zach is down with illness right now. I know that other people are recovering from illness right now. So stay healthy, wash your hands, take some vitamin C. I don't know. Zinc is always good for you. But if you would open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua 1, we'll continue in our Wednesday night series over the former prophets, which is Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. Last time, if you weren't here, we started with some just introductory thoughts about how to read the Old Testament as Christian scripture, not as a history book. And we're continuing with the actual narrative of Joshua today. So Joshua 1, we'll read the entire chapter. Joshua writes, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, to the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be very strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you the land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of God. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we're thankful for this day. Thankful for this evening. Just thankful for these people as we gather around your word and learn from it today. I pray that your spirit would teach us all things concerning you and lead us unto all truth. Father, we love you and we praise you today for just all your goodness and graciousness to us in Christ. Amen. So the historical context of Joshua is pretty important just to understand sort of the storyline of Scripture up to this point. The historical context is that God would talk to Abraham in Genesis 12, and he told and promised Abraham that he would bless him, and he would make him a great nation. And he gave him these promises that he also gave to his son Jacob, and to Jacob's sons, all of Israel. And then Israel goes into Egypt around the time of Joseph, and they are very prosperous in the land. And then Egypt realizes that they're growing too strong, and Pharaoh decides to put them into slavery for 400 years. And after That time in slavery, God delivers his people by sending his advocate Moses, his servant, who we just read about, and he led them out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea and redeems them, and then he makes the Mosaic covenant with them, establishes his law with them, and makes them a people. But then they are disobedient. They wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the older generation dies off. And now this new generation has now come, and they are ready to go into the land that the Lord has promised to them. We are here on the other side of the Jordan, about to enter the promised land and continue in God's plan of redemption that will come through these Israelite people. And the people are also looking for God's plan of redemption to unfold in three specific promises that God gave to Abraham. And if we look back in Genesis 12, you don't have to flip back there with me, but in Genesis 12, 1 through 2, he says to Abraham, the Lord says to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, or through Abraham all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so we see three things. We see that he's going to give Abram and his offspring a land. He's going to give them a nation, and he's going to give them a leader or a blessing through which all nations will be blessed. And this one, as Galatians 3 picks up, is one person, is Christ. And it's through that one seed that all nations will be blessed. And that's also playing off of Genesis 3, which we hear about, that one who will crush the serpent's head. And so these promises, this land, this nation, this leader, is constantly at the forefront of the people's minds. And so as we read this, and as we see everything come up all throughout these narratives, we're thinking about these three promises the entire time, because this is the plan of restoration of God. This is how God's bringing back all things to himself. And in this passage, and in the entire book of the prophets, how the people of God obtain and keep these covenant blessings of the land nation leader are the main point. And so the main idea of this passage for Joshua, the thesis statement for Joshua, the thesis statement for the entire book of the prophets, is God's covenantal blessings come through trusting and obeying the Lord's instruction. So the covenantal blessings come through trusting and obeying the Lord's instruction, trusting and obeying. And so as we look through this text, we are seeing God giving Joshua the instructions for how to go into and enter this land and to obtain the covenant promises and to keep them. And as we enter this text, the promise of the people seems to already be checked off. We had the Mosaic covenant happen. These people of God seem to be formed. And so you kind of get the feeling of, oh, we already got one box checked off, and now we just need the land and we just need this leader. And as we start in this text, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And there's this switch of command from Moses to Joshua because Moses dies. And this is actually a marker of every single book in the former prophets, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Samuel. And you notice that at the beginning of these books, there is a death of a leader. And this is one of the things that ties them all together. And this is not just some meaningless piece of information. It also functions as a way to tie these books together, but it is also kind of triggering in your mind, oh, so Moses wasn't the guy. What about this Joshua guy? Is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be the one who fulfills these promises, this leader that we're looking for? And the constant death of the leader is kind of throwing in our faces as the reader that this isn't the guy. This isn't the guy. This isn't the guy. We're still looking for the one who will fulfill the promises. And so after this, after we have Joshua as the new leader, we see God give him these instructions. And so what are the instructions? First one, we see it several times. It's in verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, verse 18. And it is, be strong and courageous. That's the first instruction he gives Joshua. And why should Joshua be strong and courageous? Because the Lord is with him. Notice in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land, and I swore to their fathers to give them. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses in verse 5. I will not leave you or forsake you. And so he's telling him to be strong and courageous because he's going to be with him. He is the covenant-keeping God who is with his people. That's how he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 3. I will be with you. I will be with you. And he also is the one who keeps his promises. You will inherit the land that I swore to give you. That's what is going to happen. I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. So if the God of the universe is on your side and is with you and is going to fulfill the promises, he's shown himself to be faithful in this way, then be strong and courageous as you go into the land. The second thing that he tells them is to obey his instruction. And that's in verse 7 and 8. He says, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. The book of the instruction or the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And so this obedience is required of God's people. And we see this over and over and over again throughout all of Scripture. His people must be an obedient people. And not just ritualistic obedience of the law. I mean, we see this in 1 Samuel 15, right? Saul gets this wrong. He's not thinking, oh, just do sacrifices. But he's thinking real heart obedience that loves me over all things, that loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the kind of obedience he's looking for, an obedience of the heart. Then the third instruction is to meditate on the book of the instruction. This is the most important thing. This is what we saw last time. This constant plea of the Old Testament exhorting us to meditate on the book of the instruction, the book of the law. And this is not just, as we discussed, is not just to meditate on the rules of Leviticus or something, but it's about meditating on the message of the Pentateuch, of the first five books of the Old Testament. And that is to hope in the future work of God in the Messiah. That is what he's instructing him to do. He's saying, if you want to gain the covenant promises, if you want to receive the covenant promises, then you have to be strong and courageous. You have to obey the Lord's instruction, but you have to hope in the promises that I have given you, namely the one that will come later, the Messiah. And after receiving these instructions, Joshua relays them to the people, and the people receive them well. And we see this in verses 16 through 18. They said, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. We will obey you because the Lord is with you, just as he was with Moses. And they even instruct Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's the final thing they say. And so this is exactly what is supposed to happen. The Lord does the work of giving the people the land that he has promised. The Lord is faithful in carrying out these promises as he resides with his people and blesses them with his presence. The people are supposed to see how the Lord is their leader and is with them. And in response to what the Lord has done, is doing, and what he has promised to do, they are supposed to be strong and courageous, and they are. They're supposed to be confident in the Lord because he is with them, because he is faithful to them. They're supposed to obey his instruction. They're supposed to see how he is with their leader and look to their leader and obey him. They're supposed to meditate on the book of the Lord's instruction day and night. They're supposed to read, reread, and commit to their heart the hope of the Lord's restoration that will one day come in the promised Messiah. So the people hit all the marks, and this is the instructions of the land, the instructions of how to obtain the covenant blessings. The leader that the Lord is with, the land, being a people, the promised rest of eternal restoration, all of it is theirs. If they trust in God, if they trust and hope in his future work, and they obey the Lord's instruction, meditating on it day and night. All of it is theirs. And they are to be strong and courageous. Why? Because the covenant-keeping God is with them. He's going to be faithful to his promises. And this is the kind of repetitive theme across this chapter. If you read it a couple of times, you see that be strong and courageous many, many times. And as we import this into applying it to us today, I want us to think about how if these people were told to be strong and courageous, and the Lord says, I will be with you, I will be with you. And these promises, trust me, will one day come in this Messiah. I will give them to you. And if these people are so strong and courageous, they're supposed to be confident in the Lord. How much more confident, how much more strong, how much more courageous are we to be as new covenant people of God
who not only have the Lord with us, but have the Lord dwelling within us. Who our covenant blessings aren't dependent upon our obedience, but the obedience of the one who stood in our place, who perfectly obeyed the law of God, who fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle of it. So if these people are being instructed to be strong and courageous, how much more should we? How much more should we? We who are the ones who have the promised Spirit, who have the fulfillment of all these promises already come in Christ. And so I would plead with you as we read this, be strong and courageous in the Lord. If you feel bombarded by the cares of the world, be strong and courageous. Hope in Christ. If you are battling sin, be strong and courageous. Hope in Christ. Hope in the Messiah. Today, all of the covenant blessings are made available to you. Ephesians 1, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are made available in Christ. You have them. 2 Peter 1, God has given us by his divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. Be strong and courageous in that God. Hope in Christ, in God's work in Christ. Cling to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10, that God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That'll have to be it for now, but we'll get more into this passage and also chapter 2 of this next week, or next time we meet together as in this setting, I guess, because we have meetings soon.